All right, so this is In the Know. You're probably like, what does that even mean? So we're going to be talking about high school students and just kind of showing y'all some things that I've seen just as the youth leader and then from a parent perspective. So we'll kind of be going back and forth on that. But before we get started, I'll open this up in prayer and then we'll introduce ourselves and get into it. Okay, so go ahead. Heavenly Father, you are good and gracious. You are holy, Lord. You are worthy to be praised, and we do not praise you enough, Lord. But we thank you. I thank you for this room of people, Lord. I thank you that we get to come together to worship you and have community and fellowship with one another, Lord. I thank you for each and every one of these people, Lord. I thank you that you have brought them to Briarwood, that you've brought them to Birmingham. Lord, that you would use me and Abby today as we speak through your word, Lord, that we would be clear, Lord, that we would communicate well, and that we would use your authority to lead and guide us in every direction and season of our lives, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Alrighty. Alright, so I'm going to go to this slide. I am Callie. I work with the high school girls here at Briarwood, so I work with BYG. So I might have some of your kids, if not now, maybe later. So this is my little family. This is my husband, Walker. He's a nurse at UAB, and this is our little fur babies. We don't have babies right now, but one day. So I'll let you introduce your family.
This is us. I know most of you aren't seeing faces, but I've got Mitchell in the right, then Taylor in the bias, and then my husband Ryan. So we've got a junior, ninth, and fourth grader. Love and life. And I won't tell you what grade Ryan is.
So we're going to do some questions at the end and stuff, but as the talk goes on, if y'all have questions that you really want us to get to, or if you have questions coming in that you're like, I really want this to be answered, you can text my number, you can write it down as the talk goes through, send it to me. I have it on Do Not Disturb, and at the end we'll go through and try to answer questions before y'all get out. Hopefully we've prepared enough for maybe we'll already answer your questions, but we would love for y'all to utilize that. And then you have my number in case you ever need it later on down the road. So y'all can definitely utilize that. But, all right. So as we said, we wanted to go in and talk about high school students and your children. And I am not a parent, so I do want to say that I do not know everything. I do not have all the answers. But as the youth staff and working with high school students, there's a lot of things that I get to see that maybe y'all don't, or maybe you do and I see it differently. Or so that's kind of what I'm here to help do. So I'm not trying to say you should or shouldn't parent in this way because I have no idea. But I do want to be a resource for you guys, and I think that I get to see a lot of their lives in a different way than maybe y'all do. So I do want to be a resource for y'all. So that's kind of why I'm here to do what I do. And she is the parent. She has a lot of great wisdom and advice. So y'all utilize her for all those needs.
Mine's still high school, so I'm learning with you. I'm hopefully just a good mouthpiece.
Yeah, well. Okay, so I thought we could start with getting in God's Word a little bit and kind of going through that and seeing what He says to us about children. So if you want to turn to Proverbs 22:6, we'll start with that and kind of break that down. And Abby and I will be going back and forth on these verses so that y'all can know kind of what's to come, I guess. But anyway, so starting with Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." So Proverbs was written by Solomon, the son of David. Just like to give y'all some context before we start. So raising a child within the context of Proverbs means that it begins with the Bible, as Scripture is God-breathed and it is useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training, as we see from 2 Timothy. And so I think for my job going into teaching some of your kids, my authority is God's Word. And so I want to lead them with God's Word being their authority of their life as well. And so when I am teaching or rebuking or correcting them in their life, I'm doing it from our source of life. So going forward with that, now we know that we can't save our own children as much as we would want to, and we can't work for their salvation on our own, but we can actively point them to their Creator and their Heavenly Father through His Word and show them who He is by how He has told us through His Word. So I want to point them to this. And so when children are born, like, they're completely dependent on you, right? Like, they can't walk, they can't feed themselves, they can't even go to the bathroom by themselves. And so they, just as they are dependent on us, I want them to become dependent on the Lord. And so for me, walking them through life, I want them to know, like, the Lord is what will sustain you. The Lord is what will protect and guide and comfort you. And so for me, and hopefully as you as parents, like, you are using God's Word to train up your children. And so we want to train them in a way that they will not depart from it. And so not depart from it in a way that's like, well, they know God's Word, and so they can't, you know, this doesn't ensure, just because they know God's Word does not ensure their salvation, believing in the gospel will, obviously. So that's not what I'm trying to say, like, put this on them, and then they'll go forward and not depart from it. But in order to, so, like, for me growing up, my mom was very good at every Friday, I had to remember scripture to her, and we would recite it. It would be on my mirror, and every week there would be a different verse. And so I had God's Word ingrained in me from a young age. And I didn't become a believer until college. But I would say from that point going on, like, this helped me to know, okay, I've grown up in this. When I got to college, I was like, okay, I've grown up knowing His Word, and this is what it says. This isn't how I'm living. And that's how I wrestled through that. So it started with my mom ingraining His Word into my life and me being able to see that through her too. And so I think that's really important with your children now, of training them in God's Word and showing them that that's their true authority, and it's not a worldly perspective, but it's a biblical perspective. So that's kind of what I wanted to go with that verse of training your children to go with God's Word. But go ahead with.
And then we look at Psalms 127:3, and it says, children are a gift from the Lord, they are a reward from Him. Another version says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. And so it just goes on, why are you training up your child? Well, they're given to us from the Lord. So at the very beginning, these children, who sometimes don't feel as though they are, awesome blessings. They are. I mean, they are the little bundle of a gift that God has given you. They have your attributes, your husband's attributes. They're together. You understand them, and they're the one thing that the Lord gives you. And I think the word heritage is really big here, because it's what you're leaving. Heritage is almost like a legacy as well. And so, you know, we meet with people about our inheritance. We meet with people about, okay, how am I going to leave this right? When can I retire? And when can I do all these things? Well, our child is the one that the Lord gives us of, hey, this is what you're leaving on earth. If the Lord doesn't carry or take them before you. This is your footprint now, is our children, and how they walk with Him and what they go to do. Again, it will be their decision. We cannot save our children, but we can lead them in that path and through those areas. And then the fruit of your womb, a reward, or like this one says, they're a reward from Him. And you know, as we parent, it's really easy to remember that when you're like, you're living it all and everything's perfect and it's sweet and easy. But when they get older and you're like, oh, you're not even remotely thinking what I'm thinking, and what is this? You still view them as the reward from heaven. This is my greatest calling in life, is to raise these children. You know, maybe not so good, it's the greatest calling to be something for yourself, but this is a reward He has given you. And, you know, ultimately, when we die and we're in heaven, what do we do with our, you know, it says you'll get rewards in heaven, and but what do we do with all of them? Do we, like, wear them and sit there pretty and go, that's not, we give them back to Jesus. You know, it's like, oh, you're getting these crowns, and then we're like, praise you, Jesus, you made me be able. We can actually, with no pride, no mixed emotions, give it right back to him at his feet. And I think that's how we view our children now, that they are our reward, they are our gift. But what do we do with all good and perfect gifts that Jesus gives us? As servants of the Lord, we give it back to him. And so as we're parenting, I think we remember this good and perfect gift and this reward is not our little showcase of awesomeness beside us in the worldly view, but it's our ability to want to give it back to the Lord, even starting here as we raise them and nurture them and teach them what our heritage is in the Lord. So that's that place.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll go to 3 John 1:4. Says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. So hopefully, like John, one of our greatest joys in life was to know that our children are walking in the truth, and they're walking faithfully with the Lord. And although I don't have children yet, I would say my husband and I are already praying for, like, Lord, that you would choose our child to be a part of your kingdom. If that's not his will, it's not. But that we would be the best parents that we can, pointing them to the cross and pointing them to God's word. And so I know that many of you want your kids to be walking faithfully with the Lord too. But I think some of that starts at home. And they're hearing the gospel here. They're hearing it when they come to BYG and D groups and Sunday nights and Sunday mornings with Pastor Reader. Like, they're hearing that, but it goes far beyond that. So I think more what I'm saying is encouraging y'all to maybe look at your child more as a disciple than your child. You want to bring them up alongside of you, and you want them to see God's truth and God's word through you. And so I think something that my mom did very well is that I saw a lot of Christ in her, where when she was having a hard day, I would see she was having a hard day, but she would go to God in prayer, or she would go to his word. And so setting that example before me showed me and instilled in me an obedience that I did not realize stuck with me until later. And so now I can think back to those memories, and I'm like, wow, when that was really hard on this day, she went to his word, or she went to his prayer. And obviously she didn't do it perfectly. None of us do. But I think that's so important as parents, that you are instilling scripture into your child's life, but bringing them alongside of you in life and showing them the obedience of Christ through his word. And so I think that's something that I really want to, emphasize for y'all. And a little analogy that I have. So I went to Troy University, probably the best university, in Alabama, and go Trojans. And I was a 5U at Troy, and so I was in a sorority, and we would make T-shirts all the time, give them out, and if you were wearing a 5U T-shirt, there came rules with that. You couldn't drink in public, you couldn't smoke, you know, if you're wearing a 5U shirt, then you're representing 5U, and so there was rules when wearing shirts. And so most people obeyed, some not. So I was also the discipline chair, so I would get a couple of those cases. But a couple of times, girls would go out and they would act in this manner, and then they weren't wearing a 5U shirt, but a lot of men and women around would be like, oh, well, she's a 5U, and that's how 5U's act, and I don't want to be in a sorority that looks like that. So we came to realize that whether you're wearing a 5U shirt or not, you're representing 5U. And so I think with us, whether we're wearing a What Would Jesus Do T-shirt or tattoo across our head or a bracelet, we're representations of Christ. And so I think to always think of that when you're around your children, how you react, how you respond, what you say about others, what you say about the church, community, and how you engage in that, you're representing Christ to your child. And so your child, if you think so now or not, they are picking up on that. Like I said, there's things that have been instilled in me that I saw from my mom. And the Lord took my mom when I was 19, but there are still things that sit with me from her and her obedience to the Lord. So I just want to encourage y'all in that we want to have no greater joy than to hear that our children are walking in truth, and that starts with you guys. So.
And the parent part of that one is, encourage your kids. This is our greatest joy, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. When you see that they are, when there's this, wow, I walked in and Carol's writing in her journal a prayer to Jesus, like she's taking time to do that, or whatever it might be. You know, they made a hard decision at school that represented Jesus, or, you know, on court school, whatever. Or even if you just had a great conversation, they came home from church and you're like, hey, you know, Pastor Reed said, la, 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 I don't understand that, or I get that, and that hit with me, or, you know, whatever it may be. Don't slough those off. Like, if this is our greatest joy, you know, we're running high and loud when they're kicking soccer ball with a goal and making 8 million points and getting asked to be on this team, which is really creating chaos in our life. Are we doing the same thing when they're seeking their Heavenly Father? Are we encouraging that? Are we praising that? Are we engaging that conversation? You know, we have a lot of sports in our family, and it's like, hey, they want to go work out. Well, come on, let's do it. I got a plan. So we're going to do this in the backyard. You know, we're going to da da da, and we're all in. If they come to me and say, I'm not really doing well enough quiet time. I need to figure this out. Do I bring that same intensity? Do I bring that same joy as I do when I see them doing something that worldly gets joy? Do I bring that same joy when they're doing this of the Lord, you know, and that's a convicting thing to me, because, you know, if you just think about your schedules and what you put as important, what you're showing them as important in your life, is, am I even building those margins so they can succeed, so that I can see some of their growth, you know, or am I like, oh, God, you know, we got to do this, so we're not going to make a church, and by the way, you know, youth group stuff, that, you know, whatever, you know, all these other things come in front of us feeding their God's word, and so we're not giving them a lot of ability to show us that they're walking in the truth. But when they are, I mean, embrace it and celebrate it. Because our kids are growing up in the world. I mean, y'all are all near my age and whatever. We grew up in a different world. Like, it really is. I know it wasn't that long ago, and I always tell them, like, I was just in college the other day. And it really wasn't. But it feels like that. But that college was way different than this college. And those high schools were way, I mean, you know, we didn't grow up in the States. Like, this is a whole other world they're going to. And even just the embracing of Christianity in our culture versus what it was when we were growing up. So they need that encouragement. They need to see that it is truly bringing us as parents joy, that these are choices that they're doing. So this is a stance. And no matter where they go to school, no matter where they go to church, no matter any of that, it's the sinful culture has infiltrated all areas now. And so that is something that I think as parents, is that our greatest joy? I guess is what you ask yourself every day. Is that, if they are my reward and my heritage, is their walk creating my greatest joy? Or am I still really more excited when I'm like, sweet, you see my kids, and he's dying. We're going to college, you know? Great joy. That's great stuff. And you're pointing back to the fact that you couldn't do it if God didn't bless you with this and all of that. I'm not diminishing any of those. But are we showing them that their walk with Christ is also and is by far our greatest joy with them, right? So are we connecting it as we talk to them, as we encourage them? Are we connecting that back so that they really do see, hey, Mom, this is great, you know? Anyway, that's that. So we'll go to Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commandments always, so that it might go well with them, all their children forever. Them and their children forever, sorry. So this was given in Deuteronomy, which is where I usually put into the Bible, and it's a something that I should do wrong with it, I'm out the next one. So they, but if you get the Ten Commandments and you're doing all this, and you know, they're pumped, they're ready, like you come down from in the mountain, and there's just great, great, great things. And we all know what happens. It doesn't last, right? But the Lord is telling them, oh, that they would have such a mind that's always to fear me and to keep my commandments, that it may go well with them and their descendants forever. It's just like our blessing commandments. They come with a promise, you know, honor your father and your mother, that your days may go well with you. Keep my statutes, fear me, that your days may go well with you, that you will be glad in your growing. And, you know, we teach them a lot of things, and there's a lot that we're, you know, don't do this, do this, and all these other things. And, you know, are we teaching them the fear of the Lord, a proper fear of the Lord? Are we teaching them that this is a personal relationship. You know, this is not just a, okay, here's God up here and pray for him and need something and it'd be nice if you thank him every once in a while too. And, you know, I hope you understand that deep relationship. But are we really teaching them what the fear of the Lord is? That he is engaged and involved in our lives and our decisions all the time. And we know this because he's also given us this blueprint of how to live. And, you know, I think a lot of this, you can also read it and be like, oh, look, it's a works based thing. Keep my commandments and then I'm going to bless you. But that's not how he's teaching us on this. It reflects the love of God, not the love of your perfectness, but the love of God who wants to bless you as you are faithful. So to me, it starts with the mind, where it says, oh, that they should have such a mind as always. And, y'all, that is our basic Christian world of mindset. And you hear it, you've heard it, I know you've heard it from the pulpit, because I've sat under it, and I've heard it. It was just last Sunday night, if not, you can go hear it again. And it's Sunday morning. I mean, Psalms 1, you know, how blessed is the man who does not sin, who does not sit, who does not walk, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, and that's the promises that this is talking about. This is the mind that we're to have. And it is hard because it is countercultural. So this is the mind that we teach them as, okay, this just happened to you. What is our filter? What is, you know, is our filter, oh man, that coach really screwed me, or oh man, my parents were so mean to me because of this, or more, tell me where I'm at right here. Tell me where I'm going. And are we cultivating that? You know, I mean, something we do in our house, and we've done it forever, really, but my five, you know, we get home from church on Sunday, we eat lunch, we go around the table. Tell me something you learned. Tell me something you learned. Tell me something you learned. You know, it might be the sweetest point ever in where I'm like, what? Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, where, now, how does that connect back to whatever the topic is? Or, so process with them. Process how to learn. Y'all, if you think about it, we are in the most instant society ever. So those kids sitting in church for 4 minutes with somebody talking to you, that's a load. Be honest, it's a load for all of you and me. I don't sit anywhere that long during the week. You know, if I am, it's a movie, and I'm usually asleep during some of it, then I wake back up. So it is an engaging the mind, the heart, and the soul. And it is a practice, and it is a discipline that we have to teach. But it is an unbelievable blessing because it's a rarity. It's not out there in the world very much. So this is something that, if we want, you know, if I do want that it may go well with them and their descendants forever, I'm affecting not just my children, but their children, and yet I don't know when the descendants end, and I'm making it up, like 50 balls to me. So I have a great ability to change the trajectory of my family tree by teaching them the mind. Do I know if it's going to last forever? No. I don't know if my kids are going to choose or their kids or if they're going to have them. But I know what my responsibility is. And it's a discipline for us as parents to engage them in learning that mind. They are smart kids. They really are. But they need, I would say, I'm not a teacher, but I do talk to a lot of people. And it sounds to me one of the major issues with all this generation age is they're not learning the process. They're not learning how to think. It's a, do you know the answer? Hey, Google. What is, you know, my friends and my son, what is blah, 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 you know? And they're not thinking. They're not processing. They're not, you know, I've got, so I have a store, and I hire a lot of high school kids to deliver my furniture or help me unbox stuff or whatever. It usually lasts about 3 weeks, and then they're gone. But it's a lovely little turnover. I was talking with one of them one day, and I was like, okay, do you know where that is? It's right near Rocky Bridge. And he's like, when he looks at me, he goes, I'll just give an address and we'll put it in my house. Great. Like, I'm very thankful for GPS. I love the fact that I'm not printing out MapQuest anymore, and I'm not having to write down, okay, the yellow house, I take the left, and, you know, I get it. Like, it's a great thing. But I looked at him, and I said, okay, you're going to work here. You can use GPS, because I wasn't going to pay you to drive around town Boston all the time. But I need you to start plugging in. Like, here are the neighborhoods we go to all the time. Gravestone, I can't think of any of my neighborhoods, but name them, they're there. Make them there. I need you to know where those are. I need you to know where my workers are, because I need you to go, oh, Abby, if you want me to take it to Shell Creek, Gravestone, and Tanglewood, I think I should get Tanglewood done and then go knock out the other ones, and I'll just make a big circle. And I think due to the time, I should do this one first, so I won't be stuck on 280 at 4 o'clock, and I'll just have this the next. They don't process anymore, like, at all. They just, oh, so more than likely, they go to Gravestone, they come back, yeah, they go back to Tanglewood, then all the way back up to Shoal Creek, and then back to Gravestone. You know, and I'm like, oh, my God. So, it's a process, you know? But our Christian life is the same thing. Our minds are ready, but we've got to teach them how to think and how to connect the big God to truly our little world. Like, we think it's opposite. We think it's our big world, and then we've got to get God in there. But God is huge. He's so big, and he wants to be involved in all of their areas. But we got to get him to think about it, you know? It's not the lucky charm. It's not this or that. It's really contemplating, okay, how does this work? And one of the best ways, or one of the easy ways that we do it is our Sundays. Because that's a lot. I mean, look, it's a lot. There's a lot of information that comes out on Sunday mornings if we're honest. And it's like, I'm writing, and I'm like, okay. And I'm in it right then, you know? And then I get home, and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm going to eat my shoe and clean it out. But process while it's there. And then we try to hit it one more time during one of our family devotions. Like, hey, by the way, let's reread Romans 5:22 or whatever. And so help them learn how to digest, learn how to ruminate, learn how, it might be a book they're reading, it might be a book of the Bible y'all are doing, I don't know. But help them process in their mind. You know, as we look at this one, I always jump forward to Deuteronomy 6:4-9, which says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk with them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them on as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It's our way of life, and we need to get that into them.
Okay. Okay. So I took a little survey with a lot of my youth students. So I'm over 9th and 11th grade, but I did this with some 10th and 12th graders as well, girls and guys. So I went around and asked them a couple of questions, got some answers. So we're going to kind of share some of those with you and then go through each one of them and the importance of them. So the first one, so I asked them the question, and I gave them, they could say never, sometimes, often, or always. That was the little variant in there. So the first question was, how often does one of your parents ask a spiritual question or start up a spiritual conversation? And the average answer was never to sometimes. I don't think one single person said always. And so for me as a youth, youth staff, I obviously am always having to engage and ask spiritual conversations. And one student specifically, I was like, do you have anyone in your life that asks you spiritual conversations or spiritual questions or challenges you? And she was like, yeah, you do. But they need that outside of BYG and Wednesday night. And so just encouraging y'all to really engage in these conversations. And you have to know your child to know how to interact with them. I mean, I have students that they want to be challenged and they want to be engaged in these questions. But then I have some students that they think that's me getting too in their business. And so I have to take a different approach for them. And so I would say, like, encouraging y'all to get to know your kids well enough to know, like, what approach to take with them. And that may take some time, and it takes trust, and it takes respect, and it takes a belief in you that they have. But I would say this is very important. And even the asking them questions after church, like, hey, what'd you learn? What'd you get out of this Wednesday night? Like, Rushing's been talking through a certain series. What's going on in it? You know, just kind of stirring up that. And I had a couple of students that told me that they usually initiate the conversation or the questions with their parents. And I had one student specifically that she had a list of questions in her notes on her phone that she was like, you know, I have all these questions. And they were deep theological questions, but she was hungry to know. And she told me that she didn't really have one of her parents that she felt comfortable asking with. And so that takes time, and no one's going to do it perfectly. But I would just encourage you all to ask them these type of questions and get them thinking and pondering upon God's Word and how to apply it to their life. Yes, go ahead.
What is the average screen time? And they said average time 4 to 6 hours a day. So when you read that, you're kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever. But, you know, if you take 24 hours, mark down about 9 for sleep, about 8 for school. We're not left with a lot. I can't really do that math that quick in my head, but I don't think it's a lot less, if I'm guessing. So 4 to 6, kind of looks like it fills most of that gap. That's not good. You know, there's so much that they are missing in real life development because of our screens. And there's so much drama that is brought that is unneeded because of our screens. And, you know, there's so many different routes, and I'm not going to go into when you should, and all that kind of stuff, because that is 100% between you and your child. That's not really in the Bible, but the Bible does tell us to guard their time and to guard their hearts and to give them the hope to. So I'll tell you a funny little story real quick. I think it's funny real quick. So Taylor's in ninth grade, goes to school. They go to school, they have to put their phones in these little pocket things, and everybody has a number, whatever. So her number is, say, 11. And he's like, 11, your phone's not in the thing. And she's like, I don't have a phone. He's like, okay, right, 11, put your stuff in the thing. And she's like, my child gets embarrassed quite quickly about this certain topic. And he's like, I don't have a phone. And he's like, okay, whatever. Put your phone in there. Yeah. Finally, one of her friends is like, no, seriously, I don't know if you're a better mom, but she don't have a phone. He's like, okay, all right then. And, you know, it's like mind-blowing to these adults that they don't have a phone. And, you know, they're giving them a phone, and you want to know, we do it when they're like middle grade, 15 minutes. So, but both of them are alive. They're alive, they're functioning, they're fine human beings. We're good. All's well. And the weight for my children has made them not so connected to it later. I mean, the guy gets on his phone, but not a lot. Like, that's not his world right now. And Taylor, you know, she's learned a lot about friendship. She's learned a lot about life without having one and making it a little bit harder. You know, oh, I've got to give them your phone number or this or that or whatever. And who's going to pursue you? You know, and are you going to pursue when it's not just that easy? And why are we sitting here watching all these pictures of social media? Like, I don't even know why to do that. But I know what it is, and it's fine. But anyway, it's just a true issue in our kids. And you know, there's 100 million people that can talk about it way better than I can. But I would just say it is absorbing a lot of their brain, a lot of their time, and a lot is not on the positive side. I realize there are positive things from technology. Please hear me. I am not saying it's the devil. Could be a really cool for the devil, but I'm not saying it's the devil. But you think of that. You know, at the end of the day, like, one of my kids will say something, and I'm like, dude, I'll pay your bill. I'll pay your bill. I'll pay your phone. I tell you to turn it off, and you obey it. Like, they are not in charge. And it's okay that you give them rules. Phone doesn't go upstairs. Phone gets plugged in at 10. I don't know what your rules are, but get some rules. Get some boundaries. Get some stuff, because even the sweetest, godliest kids, it's not always them that are doing them. Like, I don't know if y'all ever checked your email, but I'll search one thing and I get bombarded with, I'm like, I've never even been on, how'd you know I wanted blue velvet? What? And I get all these things, you know? Their phones are doing the same thing. So, and just, we're creating for their relationships later. They're not learning to talk to a, I mean, look, we get broke up with on a text. Like, who can, like, hello? That's not good. So we're giving them a lot of scapegoats by not giving them proper usage of phones and things and whatnot. You know, I had a thing the other morning, and one of the girls brought her little girl, and I said, oh, okay, well, look, I got some Play-Doh, I got some coloring books. She's like, no, she's good, she'll just take my son. I was like, man, yikes. Like, I get it. It's so easy. And yes, it's great. They get to see a little video, and it's fine. But, like, we're free. Do they? Shouldn't you want to play with Play-Doh? Like, isn't that, like, aren't we supposed to do the tactile things at that point in time to grow us and to teach us and to develop us? So, you know, just be cognizant of it. And it's never too late to get that the whole of the battle. Might be a big, fat struggle, but it's really never too late to go to there.
Yeah. And going off of that, so I have some stats that I found on the web. So 89% of girls have dieted by the age of 17. 80% of women don't like the way they look, and I think the top reason for these issues is social media and then the women around them. And I think Satan loves one and two, so he just replants the things that they've already seen and heard, and he doesn't even have to try that hard. So I think also speaking on Taylor's behalf, because Taylor's in ninth grade, so she's one of my little chicklins, but for her not having a phone, she is incredibly smart. Like, that child is way above her age because she has to get her sources from other, like, the news or her parents. And she is very, very aware of a lot of the things going on around her. Like, she baffles me all the time by the knowledge that she has, and she doesn't even have to look it up on Google. So she's an incredible child. But going on, because I really want y'all to be able to see the next slide. Okay, so how often do you see one of your parents reading God's Word? Often, or the average answer was sometimes and often. I think I got two always, so not really a lot. And I think, to an extent, this can be really, really good for your child to see you speaking God's Word, and to see you prioritizing and to say, like, okay, my mom is taking time out of her day to go read God's Word. And I'm not saying go sit in the kitchen just so your daughter or son will see you. I think there's, like, a good and pure intention behind it. But I think setting an example of them, of saying, I'm going to prioritize this time to seek God's Word and to know Him intimately so that I can walk with Him. And so I think this is just such a big example that can proceed throughout their life. This was another really big thing for me that I would see. I remember multiple times in the middle of the night going to get water, and I'd see my mom in her little red recliner reading God's Word. Like, she wasn't doing it so I would see her, but she just was actively pursuing Him and wanting to know, like, characteristics of who the Creator of the universe is. And that was instilled in me too, that I was like, wow, like, she really cares about this. And at the time I wasn't a believer, but it stuck with me. And so I would just encourage y'all to read God's Word with yourself, but also with your kids. Like, allow them to see what mom is learning in Proverbs or in Psalms, you know, like, share that intimacy with them so that they can grow and learn with you guys. Like I said, treating them as a disciple more than just your child that you care, nurture for, do that too. But just bringing them alongside you and growing them in Christ. So if you have anything to add to that. All right, so this is the slide that might kind of shock some of y'all. So these were my three questions, but I had a fourth question, and it was, what is something that goes on around you that your parents might not know about? And so this next slide is a couple of things that we'll talk through, so y'all just kind of bear with us. Okay, I forgot that that was on there. Let's just get past that boldness. There we go. All right. So here are some, and I will say that some of these I was told multiple times. I was going to go through and put, like, was told 8 times, but y'all, I started by so many people that I was like, we're just going to put the average on here. So all of these I heard multiple times. So with that, just putting that up here, do y'all have any questions that you see this and you're like, wait, what is that? Do y'all have anything that comes to mind that you're like, hold up, are you sure about this? No, these kids really did. They've told me all of this. And if you're sitting there and you're like, oh, my kid, no. We live in a depraved world full of sin. And let me tell you, I was that good child in high school where I never got detention. I never got in trouble. I never snuck out of my house. But I was a part of some of these things. And you would have thought that I was a really good child that never did anything wrong, but it was a mask. And it wasn't until college that the Lord broke me of that. And so he was sovereign in that, and I am so grateful for his mercy. But there are a lot of things, a lot of mistakes that I made that I still have to deal with in my walk with Christ because of these decisions. And so know that if your child isn't partaking in them, that they are available to them, and it is easily accessible to them. And they're seeing it now, but when they get to college, it's going to be far worse. I was not prepared for that and the accessibility to all of these things. So that's why it's important for you to be in your child's life right now and sharing these things with them. And letting them know, like, what these things are and how they may come about and maybe how to fight against it and flee from it. I think something really... So I think something that has stuck with me a lot when I was... So I did campus outreach ministry before I came here. So I was on staff at CO, so I was working with college students. And when I was in college at Troy and doing CO, I had a student that she was a junior in college, and she genuinely did not know or understand how you got pregnant. Like, no one had taught her, no one had walked her through that process. And so these are some mistakes that she could have easily made and had no idea, like, this leads to this and this happens with it, you know? And so I think it's important to be having these conversations with your kids. And I know it can be awkward, and I hated having this conversation with my mom, but it helped me understand, oh, okay, like, this is how this works. This is how the body works, and this is what's going to happen. And it helped me understand so that I could fight through that, too. Like, when your girl is grown up and she's starting to like this boy, like, she needs to understand what will happen with him and what will happen, you know, and talking through those things is so important. And I'm sure as a mom, you have so much more to say about that than I would, but just seeing it now, your students need to be aware, or your kids, my students, they need to be aware of what's going on around them and having deep conversation over and over consistently with them. And I shared this with Abby too. Like, I also have one of my girls in college that she had no idea how to use a tampon. No one had ever taught her. No one had ever talked her through that process. And so I think there's a point where we shelter our children that can be really good for them in certain ways. But when you start to shelter them too much, it starts to hurt them in the process when they go to college and they're by themselves and they don't understand some of these things. And so thankfully I could walk them through some of them. But I'm just encouraging you all as parents to be having these conversations with your kids, and it's hard and it's uncomfortable. But there's plenty of resources that y'all can use. So, oh, yeah, go ahead. Some guys too. Yeah. So So the hookups and no communication afterwards, that was really interesting. So I was telling Abby about that. I talked to this one student, and she was telling me how apparently Lee Branch is a place where many people go behind the movie theater, if y'all ever want to just go look it out, to hook up with other people, and then there's, like, no communication after. Like, they just hook up, and then it's like, oh, peace out. Like, glad to know you. And I had a student tell me that. I was like, oh, okay, interesting. But that's what they're doing, and it's here. And so, unfortunately. But I know we're kind of out of time. I don't want y'all to be late to your next session.